Mercedes-Benz Oakville is offering 0% finance rates for 60 months on all remaining 2014 C-Class demonstrators, plus three payments waived. The Mercedes-Benz Oakville demonstrator sale is on now until October 31st. Winner of the Star Dealer Award for an unprecedented fourth year in a row, Mercedes-Benz Oakville delivers an award-winning sales and service experience. Experience the difference for yourself at QEW and Dorval Drive in Oakville or at mboakville.ca.
The best NHL analysis and insight. It's what's on the lunch menu. Eat up. You're listening to Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Up earlier than normal on Hockey Central, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks, the NHL Network in the United States. Welcome to HC at Noon with Darren Millard, Doug McLean, and Nick Kyprios. We wanted to give you a bit of breathing room before we take you to Edmonton at the top of the clock for Dallas Eakins and his say following the decision yesterday to relieve him of his duties. Busy night in the NHL. We'll also get to what happened last night, the streaking Buffalo Sabres, and also tee up the Anaheim Ducks and the Toronto Maple Leafs, two of the hottest teams in the National Hockey League. Dallas Eakins, after 31 games, is relieved of his duties. Were you surprised at the decision, or more taken aback by what they did to fill his role, Doug?
I wasn't surprised. I think I said it a couple of weeks ago that I thought that it was going to happen and that Craig would step in and be the coach for the rest of the year. So, I wasn't surprised. The team, when you lose 15 to 16, it's inevitable. It's going to happen. But, yeah, I'm a little surprised about what's transpired since, like him stepping in there for a transition period. I mean, I don't get that.
Isn't the surprise 10 days ago when we had his press conference and it was abundantly clear that he wasn't blaming Dallas?
Yeah.
Isn't that the surprise that 10 days later that you fire your coach?
It's so called that typical vote of confidence, the deathly vote of confidence.
But he was adamant.
What happened?
Adamant about his support for Dallas Eakins.
Well, what happens is sometimes you're very supportive, but people above you aren't. And then eventually you've got no choice.
That press conference was just the worst call they've made all year. Craig should never have stepped up there and called a major press conference and essentially said nothing. Mm-hmm. That should have been a at the very least, a scrum after practice.
Just an informal
call
gathering.
Call people in. Yeah. Don't give them 24 hours to load up and then go into a major press conference and say that we're going to make the players more accountable, and that's where it ends.
But then
10 days later, you fire your coach.
But he was called out to do that. If you recall, around that time, the local media were on Craig to step up and say something.
But like Nick said, they could have done it
totally
in a different way.
Yeah, I agree. It makes sense.
You're not hiding. You're just playing it lower, low key.
It just gives them something else to criticize the organization about and critique them about. And it's been like, who would have ever believed this? Like, I remember talking to Mark Spector this summer. He said, you know, Doug, I think they're going to fight for the eighth spot with these additions they make. And I didn't believe it. I didn't like their goaltending from the day they signed them last year. There were pretty okay signings this summer, but not enough to make up the ground they had to make up. But I never would have envisioned it being the disaster that it is. And it is.
The Edmonton Oilers with 7 wins on the season, but have 19 regulation losses and 5 in the overtime or the shootout. They are last in the National Hockey League, even with the Carolina Hurricanes right now, and will face the Arizona Coyotes tonight with Craig McTavish calling the shots behind the bench, taking over on an interim basis before he will gradually hand off power.
The young coach, Nelson, from Oklahoma City.
Todd Nelson.
Todd is also an interim for just the rest of this year. And then what, they're going to reevaluate the entire organization, or they're going to wait to see if they all survive? Is that is it that bad that
even
everybody's in big trouble? Obviously, that's got to be the case.
Even if they came out, to your point, even if they came out and said, you know, we're going to, if Mac McTavish came out and said, I'm going to be the coach for the next 10 games and hand it over to Todd, you wouldn't necessarily believe it anyways, right? You know what I mean? It's like,
are you saying, all bets so are you off. Think the organization's lost all credibility?
They've lost major credibility here. And I don't think McTavish is safe. And to Mac's point, what happens now? Do you go past January if you don't see improvement? End of the year? But I don't, this just might be the tip of the iceberg.
See, I think it's smart for McTavish to step in and coach. I mean, he's got to get a better feel for what is going on with this group in the room, on the bench, in practice. It's one thing to watch from the press box. It's one thing to sit in the stands. But to be, and we said it here in the show a couple of weeks
Mac,
ago, he should be
manager.
In the trenches.
You were a general manager. What is he going to learn now that he hasn't learned as a general manager? Were you that distant from the situation as a general manager that you needed to go behind the bench to get a better feel than you had as a general manager?
Well, the only thing you might see is do they, because there's more pressure on the group because he's in there now, he's the boss, does it change? Does he see a change in them? You know what I'm saying? Like if you're playing and the GM comes down and coaches, it's just a little more pressure on the group.
But as I said yesterday, if you can't get motivated losing 11 in a row and 15 of 16, then I don't think the general manager coaching is going to make a boatload of difference. And if it does, you should be ashamed.
How about making $6 million a year and having to look yourself in the mirror every 2 weeks when you see your paycheck?
I don't think it'll make a difference in the win column, but does it make a difference? Does he find out a little more about Taylor Hall? Does he find out about Eberle? Maybe not. Maybe it's just I don't know. I just think
the
when you
thing
get to this
is,
point, if he doesn't know who he wants to be the coach, he should step in and be the coach for the rest of the year and then look in the summer to find the right guy.
But he's going to head off the reins to a rookie head coach in the National Hockey League.
Which is
strange.
Strange with what they've – and Todd Nelson's a good young coach. No
doubt. To Edmonton we go.
But Todd will buy him time.
Dallas Eakins at the podium.
Now, before we get going with the questions, I'm going to let you know that I brought the toughest lady in Edmonton with me today. So be very careful. She's in the back watching, and I don't want her to have to come in here and put you guys in line. First, I want to thank the people of Edmonton and the fans here. For their treatment of me and my family. It's been a great place to live. And we plan on staying here and continuing to live here until the next opportunity arises. I'd like to thank Daryl and Renee Cates, Kevin Lowe, Craig McTavish, and Scott Housen for giving me such a great opportunity to embark on my first NHL coaching experience. Their passion, their leadership, their character was the reason that we bypassed other opportunities and chose to come here. They are great people, great leaders, and they are going to find a way to climb up those standings and give these fans what they truly deserve. I want to thank all of my staff, worked extremely hard, fully committed, left no stone unturned in trying to find solutions, trying to make these young men not only better players, but better people. I want to thank all the players for their service and their commitment and forging ahead through very difficult times. And these times, they will look back one day when they face adversity in the future. And that adversity in the future will seem to be nothing compared to what they've gone through here in the last 18 months. I want to thank all the players
current and former that have reached out to me, as well as numerous general managers and coaches who have reached out to me here in the last 24 hours. The hockey world's a small one and full of support. The my message to the people here and to the fans is I can speak freely now. And like it or not, you need to be patient. With Nelly coming in, Craig McTavish took over this job 18, 20 months ago. And I understand being out of the playoffs for a long time. But the situation is the situation. It's kind of like losing all your money. You don't get all your money back the next day. You have to start working again and working at it. And this organization is where it's at. It's where it's at. And all of this past, is it painful for everyone that's been through it? Absolutely. The fans of this organization, you've suffered greatly. But I'm going to tell you, you need to be patient. That's the way it goes. You need to be patient. And if anybody's going to find the solution, it's going to be Craig McTavish. I know that for sure. His commitment to this organization, his pain that he goes through every day, looking, trying to make this organization better, he will get it done. He will. I know he will. And if a new GM came in here today and you know what he'd say to you? 5 years. 5 years. That's what they all say. That's what I'm going to need. Craig's been here for 20 months. Everybody breathe, let him go about his business, show some patience, and let him get this sorted out. And let Nelly get it sorted out. I've let this organization know I am here at their service. I want nothing more than tonight for this thing to turn around. This team has been on so many, the wrong side of so many one-goal games. And I am still confident and hopeful that the pieces are in place. And once this lineup gets healthy, that it will turn. And suddenly there will be 5 or 6 games in a row where the Oilers are on the good side of it. We've made some great strides. Cutting down the chances, cutting down the shots. And that's a necessary step for this organization to go in. And I think Nelly's going to bring in a great, fresh approach. He's an excellent coach. He's fully deserving of this opportunity. And he's going to get great support here with the staff. Like I said, the toughest lady in Edmonton's back in the back watching. Don't fool around with me today.
Dallas, do you think what went wrong
this last year?
Well, the losses went wrong. It's hard to explain. I think last year was a year of maybe getting ahead of ourselves, and I think one of the questions I'd get asked today is, you know, what have you learned? And the thing that I take away from it for myself is patience. And when I came in here, my long-term goal, and we had spoke about it, was by the time we got in the new building, we'd be prepared to win a round or two. And it was always in my head if we could, by the time we got to the new building. But you don't dare say that out loud. The fans have been out of the playoffs for a number of years. They don't want to hear me say 3 years. But as much as your goal is that, you're coaching the team to speed it up. I don't want to be able to playoffs for 2 or 3 years. I want to get going. And we probably got ahead of ourselves a little bit system-wise. We should have probably went harder after the fundamentals of the game, and that's one thing that I take out of it for myself. This group is growing, and it's going to mature, and unfortunately, growing and maturity takes time. And I know it's what people don't want to hear, but I can say it freely now, and I'm sorry, but it's going to take some time.
Dallas, yesterday Craig McTavish said he's got blood on his hands. He didn't give you the roster that you needed to succeed. Do you think you got a fair shot here?
I do. And you know what? You know what Craig's doing? Craig's an unbelievable leader. And so he's standing up, deflecting from me, taking the bullets for me. I have no qualms about anything that went on here. Lineup-wise, Craig and I were always in constant conversation about the lineup. We did the best that we could with the players we had available. I think I got a 100% fair shake here, and I have no ill will towards anybody in management, any of our players. I know it's hard to hear with the record the way it is, but I believe everybody gave everything that they had.
Dallas,
Jason.
Let's go mid.
Oh, sorry.
Fourth coach since 2010 to be behind that bench. Clearly, it doesn't appear that it's the coaching. Like, I mean, why can't this team seem to get any traction in your eyes?
Well, I think the coaching changes. There's been, you know, there were a few before me. Then Craig took over, and usually a manager wants to get his own guy in place. I think that was probably more the decision with me coming in and Ralph going out. That was probably an unfair one as well. When you get in these situations, though, and I understand this. I said to Craig yesterday when I walked in his house, I understand. It's the coach is the one that's always going to get looked at first when there's losses mounting, rightly or wrongly. And it goes first, it's the coach everyone looks at. Then they start looking at the manager. And then eventually they get to the players. And I think that's what's happening here. Suddenly there's we've looked at a number of coaches. We've looked at a couple of managers, and now the sights are starting to turn on the players. And you've got to be careful with that, too. These young men have to go out and play in front of crowds, and you want them empowered, and you want them encouraged. And beating down on them is a very – can be a very shaky road, a very bumpy road, and you've got to be very careful with that. My opinion of what's gone on here with all the coaches is what I spoke to Derek about. What I've learned is you need to have some patience, and I think the passion and the character and management's goal to get this town and this great city and these great fans that have been suffering so much that maybe the next coach can get it. Maybe the next coach can get it. And I think that's what's happened, was there wasn't the patience there, but what they were trying to do was to go with the quick fix. The quick fix. There's no quick fix in this game. There just isn't. You need to breathe patience. And like I said when I opened, this organization is at where it's at. All the past means nothing. Today is where you're at, and where do you go forward? And there's going to have to be some patience here for Craig to let him do his work.
One day after being relieved of his duties in Edmonton, Dallas Eakin speaks to the media on Sportsnet 590 and the Sportsnet radio and television networks.
Guys, you don't play the game. You're the coach. They would leave the off, like in front of the net, it was like a vacant zone too often. When you look back, why was that? Why couldn't you convince those guys to go to those areas regularly?
Well, I think a lot of that is habit, and when the makeup of your lineup, you've got guys in your lineup that naturally do things. Like Matt Hendricks naturally just throws himself in front of shots. Other guys, not so much. Some guys naturally drive the puck wide. Other guys want to cut in the middle. Like, everyone has this thing that they've done for a long, long time. You want guys going to the net. You want traffic. You're always prodding them to do it. And you can usually do it
get them to do it for short periods of time, but they always seem to revert back to what they've done their whole careers. And they've had success. They wouldn't be here if they didn't have success doing something. And so it's more the makeup of the group, their past habits. That being said, it's amazing now what you can measure in the game. Like, it's incredible. And I know there's this whole divide out there. Either you're with analytics or you're against it. And for me, it's a real marriage. It's interesting to look at both. And you can go, you can measure where all the chances are coming from. You can see where you're getting the puck to. And compared to other teams, we were doing a pretty good job of getting that puck into the areas where you need to score. The next step is to have some extra people in there for the second and third chances. And that'll be the challenge of the group. They're going to hear it again tonight from Nelly and Craig. I can already hear it. Get to the net. Get to the net. And if you get to the net, you get rewarded. That's it.
There was reports yesterday.
Hockey Central will speak about the Toronto Maple Leafs encounter against the Anaheim Ducks in about 15 minutes' time with Mark Osborne. Right now, back to live coverage of Dallas Eakins speaking one day after being fired as Edmonton Oilers head coach.
Yeah, they are. They're a very coachable group. And it was brought to my attention late last night about some things swirling around Taylor that really ate at me. And if you want to talk directly about Taylor, it goes back to our conversation just here a few minutes ago, is you've looked at the coach, you looked at the manager, and now someone's trying to find it on a player. And when you talk about the Edmonton Oilers, who's the first name that comes up? Well, Taylor Hall. He's a dynamic piece here. And my experience has been a short one with Taylor. But what I see from this young man is an amazing amount of growth in a year. And I don't know who Taylor was before I got here, but I know who he is now compared to when I came in last year. And he's maturing. He's going to continue to mature. And as he grows into a fine young man, he's going to turn into a great, great hockey player. And that's the thing that we all forget here. And I was guilty of it too. You forget that the guy is 21, or Taylor's 23, or this guy's 19. You forget it because they're pulling on the jersey and they're going on that ice, and you expect them to play like guys that are 28 and 29 years old. And it's just not there yet. As for the culture of the room, I think a lot of it has been overstepped with the feeding frenzy on the losses. With losses comes great frustration. And you can hold it together for quite a long time. You can bend, and then eventually something splinters. And if there isn't frustration in the room and a little bit of a divide, when you haven't won a game in whatever it was, 10 or 12 games, I'd be worried. If they're all in there singing kumbaya and hey, everything's great, let's stick together, well, that's fine through five or six. But for me, there has to be a divide, and there needs to be frustration, and there needs to be some raised voices and maybe even some bloodshed sometimes. That's how it goes. And that's the thing that a lot of people don't understand. Unless you're in that room, especially at this level, what goes on in that dressing room is a sacred spot. And so for me, I think a lot of this is people swirling. It's okay that this organization's in a bad place. There's been lots of losses. Let's point our finger at this now. But I like that there was frustration in our room. Like, yeah, there better be frustration when you've lost that many. You don't want the frustration at four or five games, but when you got to where we got, there needed to be something said. And that's part of the growth. It's no different than sitting at the dinner table with your brothers and sisters when you're growing up. There's going to be some bloodshed sometimes, and you're going to love each other the next day. And that's how great, great families are bonded together. A lot is through arguing, fighting, getting over it, and your love becomes deeper. And that's what's happening to this group. And I'm still hopeful that all of this mess that we I left here yesterday is somehow going to pay off for these young men and this organization moving forward.
Dallas,
John Reed.
John, you talked about how this will help players down the road going forward. You know, once they assimilate all this and cover yourself, but what will you have take away from this experience as a coach yourself?
Geez, I better not ever go through this again as a coach. I'll be catching up to Rogers' firing record very quickly. I think it you always revert back to things. And it was going through the loss is hard. Yes, incredibly hard. But what I've got in my back pocket is life experiences that make this look like nothing. So I always revert back to that. And some unfortunate things that have gone on in my life have, even though you don't want to go through those things, when you get to this, it's kind of like, okay, I'll just dig my heels in here. This is nothing. This is a nice fight compared to the stuff we've been through before. So it'll be a reference point for sure, and it's amazing. As a coach, you come in, you've got all these experiences in the game as an assistant coach, as a head coach, and now in the 18 months here, I feel like I've got about 10 years of experience of some of the stuff that we've had to deal with here internally. System-wise, fundamentally-wise, the passion of the market, all those things. I'm going to look back at this, and as painful it is to lose your job, I actually think I'm going to benefit greatly from this.
Let's go Reed and then Terry. Dallas, you know, you said the organization is where it is, and fans still have to be patient. What areas of the organization have to improve so any future coaches have, you know, more support or whatever it is and have a better chance to be successful?
Listen, this isn't an open book up here. It's I'm not going to go that deep. I will tell you this, that Craig's on it. And he's not one to come out and he's not going to tell you what he's up to. But Craig's on it. And that's all I'm going to say, is Craig has got his heels dug in, and there are every little bit of this organization is being analyzed right now. And when you come in as a manager, it takes time to, even though he's been part of this organization in and out for a long time, you've got to get a feel for what's going on around you. And believe me, things are going to improve right across the board here. I'm confident of that.
Last few words, Terry, then Jim.
With the timing of this, can you go through when you found out, how you found out, and did you see it coming? And from a personal level, you've got two little girls. How are they handling it?
Well, I've been around the game a long time. My mentor, Roger Nielsen, I think he was fired like 9 or 10 times. I can't remember. It seemed like every other year he was coming back in the summer. But the so you know, hey, you're losing. This is not good. But I rarely thought of myself. It was always, when you're in it, you're just like, okay, what are we doing today to make the group better? And you can't coach like that. And if you're ever coaching, worrying about your own job, you're done. It's over. And I refuse to think like that. It's just, I don't know, it's not my makeup to worry about things like that. So now, when I went home, was my wife asking me what was going on? Yeah. Yeah, she was. And was wondering, you know, what if this happens, or what if this happens? I'm not going to lie, the conversations were going on at home, but for me, nothing was going on. It was, I'm getting ready for practice, and we're getting ready to win the game. My girls are too little. One's three. She's no idea what's going on. And my 6-year-old knows that I coach this team. And we, when you've got a 6 and a 3-year-old, what's it about? It's about, hey, can you share that? It's her turn, it's her turn. And I just sat her down and explained to her that it wasn't my turn anymore. It's somebody else's turn. And one of Daddy's friends gets to coach the team now. And her first thing out of her mouth was, does that mean you don't need to go with the hockey guys anymore? And I said, that's right, I'll be home. And she happened to have a coin in her hand. She went, heads or tails. Like, she was right on to something else. So they're fine.
And the timing of how you found out?
Yesterday morning, Mac T, he called me. I live very close to Craig. And he asked if I could come over. I knew it wasn't to go get my Christmas present. And we went over and we had a coffee. Again, Craig with his leadership, unbelievable. Taking the bullets, trying to make me feel better. Just an amazing man.
Okay, last question. Do you feel any differently with like, losing your job as a coach than when you were a player and you couldn't gain traction to be a player? You got sent down, you were up, you were down. Feel any different?
No, and I handle it the same way, and I can't remember who I was talking to yesterday. It might have been one of the managers that called me, and I equated it to that experience a little bit, where, you know, I think go have some fun and go look at how many teams I played for. It's a lot. I can't even remember some of the teams. But I always looked at it as I moved. It would seem like every summer I was off to a new organization. And I never, ever looked back at, oh, why didn't they want me? You know, what happened there? I always looked to the new team and going, this team wants me. I'm going to go in there and do the best I can. So I don't know. It's probably my upbringing, whatever it is. I've always been able just to look forward and rarely look back. And so all I'll do here is I've had a pretty hard self-assessment this summer of my coaching. Once the season was over, learned even more this year, and it'll be what's next, not what's gone on in the past.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Dallas.
Terry, you're listening to live coverage of Dallas Eakins' press conference on Sportsnet 590, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and the NHL Network in the United States.
I'm so mad at myself because I meant to do that. Anyway, thanks for your treatment, guys. I appreciate it, and I'm sure we'll cross paths again. Thanks, guys.
Back here at Hockey Central with Darren Millard, Nick Kiprios, and Doug McClain. A 27-minute news conference following his firing yesterday by the Edmonton Oilers.
I've never seen a guy get fired talk so much.
After a 7-19-5 start through 31 games. Some of the things that jump out at you. One, preaching patience to the fans. Number two, incredibly positive and supportive to those above him and those in the dressing room. Those are two things that you don't necessarily hear from a guy that's relieved of his duties.
Well, for me, the first thing I'll say is he's going out like he came in. He talks too much. Okay? He talks too much. And I don't know whether or not it's just, and we saw he got emotional, and it just goes to show you what that job meant to him. But I think, to my point, that he talks too much.
What didn't you like about what he said, though?
You know what, Darren? I haven't really liked what he's said from day one. Okay.
Well, he's been much different this year than he was last year. You have to admit that.
He still talks too much. Okay. You come in, and it's to his point, and he said it like two or three times. You forget how young they are. Yet, 5 minutes into his coaching career with the Edmonton Oilers, he made it abundantly clear to everybody, don't call my team young. And I don't know whether or not he just wanted to get into the psyche of his players or the media, but he tried to push that to the point where we don't want that as an excuse. Okay, so.
The history.
Just don't call my team young. Well, they are young, and he's the first one to. And then he tells us in his press conference, you forget it. Okay, so he forgot it. Okay. And then you want to go and you move on in his year And then you go in and you want to become a nutritionist with the team media, donuts or whatever in the room. Then you want to redesign the room. You want to take pictures down. And it just seemed like everything, he just always went places you shouldn't go.
You forgot about the jumping jacks.
The jumping jacks with his captain. And it just, I think he just lost his focus. He tried to be everything to everyone. Right. And if he's guilty, maybe he's guilty of just trying too hard. Yeah. But I don't agree. I'll let you go, Mac, in a second. But I don't agree for 1 second that this is just all on Mac T and this team's not good enough, okay? I'm sorry, but they made the decision to go to Dallas and get rid of Ralph Krieger, okay?
Kruger.
And they were trending upward with Kruger, okay? But they wanted, Craig Mitavish wanted to make this, he thought he was getting the best coach outside the NHL, okay? And that was the perception out of Toronto, because Toronto media has this amazing ability to pump up people and kind of make them better than they really are. And that's what happened here in Toronto, okay? The Toronto media built this guy up, and Craig Mitavish, you know, he bit on it. He bit on it, and he made a bold move. He got rid of a coach that was moving the team forward. And then the moment Dallas came in, all bets were off.
Yeah, look, I guess he talked a lot. You're right, and he was very positive. And, you know, obviously he's looking to take this to a new job, and you can't blame a guy for that. I just thought he went on and on way too much. The bigger thing is, why did they play? Why could Dallas not get this group to play the way you have to play to be successful? Well, one reason is they're not good enough. Their defense isn't good enough. Their goaltending isn't good enough, and they're too young up front. So it's a bad recipe. And
we saw coaching mistakes too. Did we not? Did we not see
totally
an aggressive blue line get caught up on odd man rushes? Did we not see players not lined up correctly in defensive zone face-offs?
Cost them big.
Did we not see young kids together that probably shouldn't be on a line?
Yeah. You know, he said the culture in the room. I'd love to know what the culture in the room is if I was the general manager there, and you should know it if you're the general manager. Craig, if he doesn't know it, he's going to find out real fast. And he's talked about the mess he left. How do you fix this is the number one question. Coaching is part of it, small part of it, I think. How do you actually fix the Oilers? That's a big job for somebody.
Mac, five coaches.
No, since
boom, boom,
this is
boom,
the fifth
boom.
Change since 2009. So, you know, this runs a lot deeper than just the coach, and they've got to step back. They thought they had a heck of a summer. They thought they had a heck of a summer with the two goalies, fixed the goaltending problem, the Fane, Pouliot. They thought they had a heck of a summer. The defenseman, Nikitin.
Nikitin was a tough one there.
Yeah.
Even though it was on a short-term deal, he's nowhere near the player that they thought they were getting.
Totally. So, you know what? And then the bigger question is, how do you get people to go there with what you've got going on? That's the biggest challenge. How do you get people to go to the Edmonton Oilers right now with what people are observing in the NHL? So, Dallas, you go by Dallas, and then where do you go next? Like
you
said, Darren.
Do you think he got a full good shake there?
Yeah, I don't think they had any choice.
I agree with him. He had ample time. And
I don't think he had any choice.
Did we not sit here a month ago and just laugh at the Buffalo Sabres and say there's no chance in hell that this team is going to earn any respectability this year? They were god-awful. And yet, look where they are right now. And you're telling me right now the Edmonton Oilers aren't better than what we've seen?
Darren, Buffalo Sabres are 4 points out of a playoff spot.
Darren, I can't. The big thing I don't understand is how Dallas, with his history in the game and coaching, he could not get this group to play differently. That's what I used to watch. I mean, how many times have we watched it? Guys, why are you going through the middle of the ice? Why are you turning the puck over? Why are you pinching? Why is the front of the net open? Why does your face-off alignment look like that? I mean, how could he not get them to play a better style of game?
But that goes back to the numerous coaches.
Right.
Like, nobody's been able to get this core group.
Yeah.
They moved some
pieces. I told you, Ralph had it going for them. Okay? That was really out of left field. Was it not? Did we really think that there was going to be a coaching change when you just brought him in and the team looked like they were making some strides?
Here's where I had a problem.
Where
with
did
this.
That coaching change
but
come
here's
from?
I think the positives of Ralph Krueger is overestimated slightly just because of where the
but
team is
here's
now.
Here's what I have a problem with this organization. Why is Craig McTavish interviewing Dallas Eakins to be Ralph Krueger's assistant coach when Ralph Krueger is in Germany? That caught me off guard. I'm sorry. Look, what you do is Ralph Krueger interviews Dallas.
Do you think Dallas went in there and said, I can be the head coach? I can do a better job?
I doubt it. I don't think he would. So what you do is Krueger interviews Dallas. Then McTavish meets with the guy that Krueger is recommending to be his assistant. I had a problem with this from day one, how it even transpired that a general manager is interviewing the assistant coach. It was bizarre from day one.
Unique, bizarre.
Well,
intriguing.
It's hard. There's
a lot of ways to describe.
There's
what's
one
going
benefit
on.
Of talking too much for Dallas, and that's he's going to be on one of these panels here in a couple of weeks, and then him and Mac can fight over who talks more.
No, you said he talks too much. I didn't.
Well, I can't wait for the day that if Dallas does come in here, he looks at both of you and says, don't fool around with me today.
Yes, his wife's going to be in the back watching.
He was, you know what? As far as coaches' press conference,
he handled himself.
Yeah, it was fine. It was interesting. It was entertaining.
How do they improve is the big question. And he gave Craig, whether it means anything, gave Craig McTavish a vote of confidence. When I get fired, I used to be pissed off at the general manager. Yeah. Sorry. I used to be really ticked off when I got fired.
It wasn't a traditional press conference.
No.
When we continue, one of the big
maybe
games
I should have
tonight
been nicer.
In the National Hockey League involves the Edmonton Oilers against the Arizona Coyotes. Craig McTavish back behind the bench with the assistance of Todd Nelson. But at Air Canada Center, the two hottest teams in the NHL, the Anaheim Ducks, top of the standings against the charging Toronto Maple Leafs. We look ahead to that one on Hockey Central and Sportsnet 590 The Fan, the Sportsnet Radio Television Networks, and the NHL Network in the United States.
You thought Millard, Kiprios, and McLean worked a lot already. Now they'll work anytime you want. Subscribe to the Hockey Central podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Back here at Hockey Central, Darren Millard with Nick Kiprios and Doug McLean, Mark Osborne coming up to talk about the Anaheim Ducks and the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight. Should mention also, the Buffalo Sabres won their fifth straight last night, are now ahead or tied with New Jersey, Philadelphia, Columbus, and Carolina in the Eastern Conference. That's something I didn't expect to say at the 30-game mark.
That is for certain. And so Teddy Nolan, who's taken some heat, and, you know, you got to give him credit. He's got that group playing hard. And you watch the game against Ottawa last night. They battled right to the end. And, you know, we're able to, fortunate enough to win in a shootout. But they're playing hard.
And they're getting goaltending.
You know, we criticized Teddy a couple of times for calling them out and, you know, getting carried away. He was so frustrated with them. But, hey, they've responded.
Not a Pee-wee team anymore.
They've responded. They're better than a Pee-wee
team. Imagine all those people who went out and bought Connor McDavid sweaters with the Buffalo Sabres logo on the front.
Tim Murray got one. Tim Murray bought one.
Here's Mark Osborne. Let's have a little bit of a roundtable here and what's going on with the Toronto Maple Leafs. And Ozzy, I'll give it to you first, and then Nick and Doug can jump in here. But where do you see the difference between this team over the last 11 games from what we witnessed against Buffalo and Nashville?
I would have to say probably it comes right down to leadership. I think this leadership group was challenged. I remember when even Kipper talked about there's no alpha dog on this team, and I think ever since that point, after that loss, guys like Stefan Robidas, I think Daniel Winnick in some regards, decided to take a little bit more of an active approach with some of the guys, like a Dion Phaneuf, like a Phil Kessel maybe, and I think timing was everything for those guys in particular. They haven't looked back since that faux pas that they made with the fans.
Is it safe to say, boys, that we're seeing a depth in their lines that we haven't seen in a long time here, and the decision to not go with your typical heavyweights in a fourth line role and all of a sudden going with guys that support puck possession and make plays? And Winnick, to me, is that prime example of a guy that once he has the puck, there's no panic. There's the thought of making plays, even shorthanded. And that's something that we haven't seen in the past. And it's not just relying on Kessel and Bozak and JVR to score. That's the biggest difference, is that we talked about them having no identity. They have one now, and that is offense.
Doug?
You know what, Ozzie, I've got to say that this time last year, they were rolling like this. We were pretty positive about them. There just seems to be something different about the group. It's the depth Nick just mentioned. They're even winning. I know Bernier and Reimer have been good, but they're even winning when the goaltending's just okay. So they're finding different ways to get it done.
Yeah, they certainly are. Nick mentioned the fact is that you're employing a fourth line now. Let's face it. I mean, when a guy like Richard Ponick is able to provide you with six goals, I mean, Colton Orr, Fraser McLaren, they would have had bagels across the board. I mean, David Booth is not a fourth line player, and yet he's just trying to get his feet underneath him, and that just provides you with more depth. That fourth line, there's been a number of real good shifts. Either they've drawn a penalty. If you take us back to the game on Sunday afternoon against the LA Kings, I mean, it was the fourth line that drew the penalty, and 8 seconds later, JVR ties the hockey game up. So those are timely things that are going on right now. You guys know the puck possession game that, you know, this Kadri line with Santarelli and Daniel Winnick has been very good. And so there's just, you guys know, when you get on a bit of a roll, you start to feel good about yourselves, and that's really what's been going on right now. I'm sure that with 31 road games out of their last 51 that they'll go on, they're going to have some low moments and they'll get into a bit of a losing streak.
And what happens, Ozzie, if they don't score themselves out of trouble, right? That's the question, is will they find different ways to still get it done? Because that was the difficult part of the end of last season, is when it went south, it went real bad.
Yeah, you know what, and we're not overlooking the fact is that these guys are still not good enough without the puck consistently. Their wingers, I mean, you look at their top line wingers, I mean, JVR and Phil have a heck of a time, and we've noticed it even in the winning streak where they are spending far too much time in their own end, and attention to detail is not there. But again, you give those guys a mulligan at times because of their offensive abilities, and yet the other guys, as far as wingers goes, are a responsible group. But yet, defensively, they want to get better. They're going to hopefully get better, because that's the only way, as you guys know, to win hockey games.
Mark Osborne will be with Gord Stellick tonight, the pre- and post-game show, as well as the intermissions, as the Toronto Maple Leafs battle the Anaheim Ducks, looking for their eighth straight win on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, the Sportsnet Radio Network. Thanks, Ozzie.
Okay, boys, take care.
Thanks, Ozzie. Are you sold on them? It's a good streak.
Yeah, no, look, they've been good, and I give them credit, because they had to circle the wagons after that those two embarrassing losses, and you know what? They've come out and played well. They've played well, and there's not a lot to be critical. They're still giving up too many shots. They're still giving up too many chances, but the offense is getting it done.
Against Anaheim tonight, that's a measuring stick, but they have a great record head-to-head with the Western Conference.
Yeah, and they've scored goals against them, and they found a way to get leads and protect them. So there should be some good vibes right now going against a very, very big, strong, heavy team like Anaheim.
You guys are beauties. Dallas Eakins talks for 27 minutes and you're sour because he took up too much of the show for you. That's really what it came down to, wasn't it?
Actually, it's...
You're going to be working together.
He took up a lot of time the last year and a half.
Thanks to everybody who supported our coverage of the Dallas Eakins News Conference, TV, radio side of things, as well as Mark Osborne. Thanks for watching and listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Hockey Central.